The gospel reading this morning comes from the 15th chapter of John's gospel. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower, who removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, the vine grower prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." And then on to verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Lord of the one true vine, in you we live and move and have our being. We are your branches, sometimes spindly and fragile. So now would you nourish us by your word so that our lives may bear fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, I ran across a newspaper article written by a volunteer with the Boston Animal Rescue League. She describes herself as a matchmaker, helping humans fall in love with animals who need to be rescued. She tells the story of one such adoption. A young, outdoorsy-looking couple came in asking to meet Sierra, whom they had seen online. "No one ever asked to see Sierra," the writer says. "She was a mutt with skinny legs that went this way and that. She was cute, but regularly pooped in her kennel and then ran back and forth in it. She thought it was fun to grab your arm with her mouth hard. She zoomed around as if she were on amphetamines. This was her big chance. I didn't want to mislead the couple," she said, "but I did want to find her a home. When we got to a meeting room, I started reading the notes out loud and dropped Sierra's leash, hoping for the best. She began ricocheting around the room, bouncing off the couch and the bookcases and the man's legs. She was a blur of black, mouth wide open, joy in her eyes. On one pass, she ripped my clipboard out of my hand and kept running." As I muffled a sigh, the writer says, the couple laughed hard. I looked up, their faces were glowing. "I love her," the man said. "Me too," said the woman. "We want her." The writer goes on to say, everyone knows that dogs can be fire hose-like gushers of unqualified love. But humans, she says, have always struck me more as takers than givers, fickle lovers who are cagey with their affections and their hearts. But in watching people tumble for goofballs like Sierra, I began to see how humans long to give their hearts away. Listen to that again. I began to see how humans long to give their hearts away. In the words we used for our call to worship this morning, the Apostle John suggests that is hardwired into us. Beloved, he calls us, not once, but twice. Beloved, because God so loves us. Beloved, John says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, earlier in 1 John, the writer introduced two big theological concepts. Love, how those of us who have experienced Christ's love can express that to others, and knowledge, what it means to know God and to know the Spirit of truth. And in this passage, those themes come together. Love entails knowing God, and knowing God is demonstrated by active love for others. There's an old story about the guest preacher at a church one Sunday morning. Standing at the door after worship, people came by and said the usual polite things about the service. But then one man approached who was acting a little odd. When he got to the minister, he just unloaded. "That was the worst sermon I've ever heard. What kind of preacher do you think you are? That was terrible." And then he stormed out. The minister looked a little stunned. And then the next couple stepped up quickly to offer comfort. "Oh, please, don't worry about that," they said. "He didn't mean to say it. He just repeats whatever he hears from anyone else." Now, you all have been exceptionally kind to my colleagues and me about our preaching, and I assure you I've never heard anything quite like that at the door. But after my sermon last week, I had an unusual number of comments from people telling me that they really appreciated what I had to say. And so all week I've been pondering what it was that struck such a nerve. If you were with us last Sunday, you remember how I talked about how we are suffering from an epidemic of anger and an epidemic of loneliness. I've been turning that over in my mind this week, anger and loneliness, and it seems to me that they're both about being connected. After 14 months of lockdown, we are craving relationships and connections with other human beings. When I cross paths with someone I know in the aisle of the grocery store, it's like finding a long-lost sibling. Social media posts share everything from silly cartoons to personal ponderings, inviting someone else to respond and relate. A few weeks ago on Youth Sunday, Rachel and I didn't quite know what to do with ourselves before worship, so we went and stood outside the narthex doors and greeted people as they arrived. I can't describe the looks we got, except to say that people were thirsty for relationship. We are hardwired for connection, and we are thirsty for it. Now, to say that anger is about connection sounds counterintuitive, but it makes sense. I was a teenage daughter once, and I fought all the time with my mom because we were both trying to redefine our roles and stay in relationship. I tell couples in premarital counseling that I'm a whole lot less worried when they fight than when they stop fighting. When they stop fighting, that means the marriage is no longer worth the effort. I think connectedness is where Jesus is going with these words from John 15. Remember, this is the last night of his life on this earth, and so he has carefully chosen what he wants his disciples to remember. "I am the vine, you are the branches," he says. You biblical scholars know this as one of seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am reflecting the name of God in the Hebrew scriptures. Remember, when Moses meets God at the burning bush and asks what he should say if the Hebrews ask God's name, God says, "Tell them I am has sent you." I am Yahweh in Hebrew. I am who I am. And so here in the Gospel of John, Jesus claims that same authority. "I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And now this final one. "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Dale Bruner, a New Testament theologian, says that since most of us don't live in Napa Valley, the vine metaphor may not work as well. So he puts it this way. I am the root of the matter, and my Father is the arborist. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. I am the vine, and you, and that's a plural you, so y'all. I am the vine, and y'all are the branches. This is not a me and Jesus passage. This is about all of us and how we need one another. Interestingly, this is one of only two parables that appear in the entire Gospel of John. There are lots of parables in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John has only two. The other one we heard last week. Jesus says he has other sheep who are not of this fold, but that he will bring them also, and that there will be one flock and one shepherd. So not only do we have no say in whose lives we are tangled up with, we don't even get to pick who is allowed into the sheepfold and who gets the boot. All of those decisions, it turns out, are handed over to the vine grower or the shepherd. This morning, when we gather in the sanctuary, we will be introducing the newest members of our confirmation class. They actually started in the fall of 2019 and just met with the session last month to present their statements of faith. This morning in our service in the sanctuary, we will be introducing the newest members of our congregation, the confirmation class that started in the fall of 2019 and had to put everything on hold over the last year. They met with the session last month to read faith statements they had prepared. And if one thing came through loud and clear in those statements, it was this: these young people know that they are loved. They know that they are loved and welcomed at New Providence, but more importantly, they know that they are loved and welcomed by God. It's been said that you can be feared or you can be loved, but you cannot be both. As far as I'm concerned, the great gift of this confirmation process is that our young people are not afraid of God. They love God and they know they are loved by God, but they are not afraid of God. And that thanks goes to all of you. And thanks to the work of the arborist, their lives and our lives are all intertwined together. We are branches of the same vine, all of us nurtured in the rich soil of love. And by God's grace, may that love bear fruit through us. Amen.